Adam Levine's birthday today. I love that song. And I'm secure enough to say I love that song. I also watch The Voice. I may be the only male over 50 that watches The Voice, but I watch The Voice. And I like Adam Levine on The Voice, so there. Good morning, Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on WABC. It is 10:07 in the morning, and I'm coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. The phone number to call in and join the conversation anytime you are so inspired is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Love the New York Post headline today. B.B. King. You know they were hoping for Netanyahu to win just so they could run that headline. B.B. Netanyahu has more than likely won re-election as prime minister of Israel. He still has to put together the coalition and all that kind of stuff that they have to do in Israel. But more than likely, 90%, he wins an unprecedented third term. But I don't want to talk about the election. That's in the past now. Don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about what the election means, because there's a lot of charred earth leading up to this election. Benjamin Netanyahu had to pull out all the stops to win this one. It was close. He won more than was expected, but it was close. But since he came out so vehemently against the nuclear arms deal with Iran, since he said there will never be a Palestinian state as long as he is prime minister, since he and President Obama do not get along and their relationship is even worse since Netanyahu accepted an invitation to speak before Congress and President Obama refused to meet with him again, what is the future now that he has won election of the American-Israeli relationship? And most importantly, but intrinsically connected to the first question, what is the future of world peace, specifically peace in the Middle East? 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. I'll start off by telling you, it is not good. This affects our fight with ISIS, the future of Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Afghanistan, the entire region. Benjamin Netanyahu ran as a war hawk. He ran on a single issue, security of Israel. And surprisingly to many, not to me, but surprisingly to many, he won on that issue. So now he owns it. He can't escape that issue. It will be around his neck. I think he likes that position. But that's what he ran on, and that's what he has to lead on. This will embolden war hawks in this country. And it throws a wrench into many of the efforts for peace in the Middle East. And some of that is a good thing. Some of it is a bad thing. And leads us into dangerous territory. It could be really bad if this leads us down a path where we have to send a significant number of troops to the Middle East. That's in the future, hopefully far in the future, but it puts us on that path. But here is where it could be good, very good, as a matter of fact. I have been extremely concerned about this nuclear arms deal with Iran for a different reason than most, but a very real and very dangerous reason. We entered a similar deal with Iraq and Saddam Hussein, remember? No nuclear weapons, UN inspectors to make certain, very similar deal. And I know that the reasons for the Iraq war have been bent and convoluted ever since we first invaded with shock and awe. But the world debate over war started with Saddam refusing to allow UN inspectors into his country. You don't see that same scenario playing out with Iran? We've been down this path before, and it did not turn out well. 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Stan from Forest Hills, you're on 77 WABC.
If it's Wednesday, and he's on Geraldo, it's Larry. How are you, Larry?
Hey, Stan, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Well, Chuck, what happened to Sunday? I didn't hear see you. What? I didn't hear you. Are you not on Sundays anymore?
No, I'm going to be on more during the week, though.
Okay, I miss you anyway. So anyway,
thanks, Dan.
Wait a minute. Let's hold up. Did he win the election or didn't he win? Has it actually been declared that he won?
Yes.
I know it's very close. What's
Yeah. He should have it. No, he's got it. He's got it. Look, here's the thing. He doesn't have enough in his party for it's the way Israel works. He doesn't have enough in his party to make him prime minister all on his own. But what he has to do is put together a coalition to govern. That's what he has to do.
That.
But he's going to get it. Stan, hold on. I'm going to let you talk. Stan,
wait.
Let me just finish my point. It's going to happen. That's all I was going to say. It is going to happen. So, yes, he has won. Go ahead.
I think even if he does win, I think the president and his team will continue to do what they're doing. I don't think it'll make a difference one way or the other. I think, you know, it's the United States. We're negotiating with these people. We'll try to get a deal. If we can't, we can't. But I don't think it'll make a difference. And I think the Iranians, at this stage, may want a deal. I think they see Netanyahu as possibly winning, possibly, and say, maybe we can put a deal together with the United States. Just to put it in Netanyahu's face. It may happen that way. I don't know.
Yeah, Stan, I agree with you. I think that a deal is maybe more likely on our side just because President Obama is so ticked off at Benjamin Netanyahu and so ticked off at the Republicans that he's going to want this now more than ever. I'm just wondering if the Iranians are getting a little scared, if they're getting cold feet because of that letter sent by the Republicans in the Senate telling them, look, President Obama's not going to be around long. And we're just going to get rid of this once we get a new president in. And so it's not going to mean anything. So you're going to give up all this stuff, and it's not going to mean anything. I still think you're right, though, Stan. And again, thanks for the phone call. I think you're right because here's the reason. The economic sanctions on Iran, even though they've been getting the stuff in the back door through China and Russia, the economic sanctions on Iran have had an effect, and they want to get rid of them. So if they can, and I don't think they'll be honest in this, if they can lie and sign this deal, they're going to take it. Now, you're going to hear a lot of saber rattling. You're going to hear them blast the Republicans and say they don't trust America. And they're going to blast Israel and say either we're a puppet of theirs or they're a puppet of ours. But I do think you're right. I think something's going to be signed and then it's going to get interesting. Because if he tries to I'm talking about President Obama, if he tries to sign a deal with the rest of the world, with Iran, and call it an agreement and not a treaty, that's going to court. That is clearly unconstitutional. So even if the agreement is reached, it doesn't mean it's going to take effect without Congress having its say. This is Larry Mente on 77 WABC in for Geraldo Rivera. The number to call in is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Your phone call next.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
And this is Larry Mente in for Geraldo Rivera on the great 77 WABC, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studios. The number to call in anytime is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. We're talking about the story of the day, the headlines in the papers. Benjamin Netanyahu, surprising to some, it shouldn't be if you were paying attention, but surprising to some, wins re-election, an unprecedented third term. But I don't want to talk about the election itself. I don't want to do post-game. I want to talk about what this means to the rest of the world, specifically what it means to U.S.-Israeli relations, because it has been tense already. And as I said, there's been some charred ground left behind in the relationship. And how does that affect not only Iranian-U.S. talks, and I think it's going to hurt, and I'm not sure that's a bad thing. Actually, I think it's a good thing, because I don't trust the Iranians at all in this whole deal. But does it lead us closer to war now that Benjamin Netanyahu has run as a war hawk, and he is our ally, and he has so many supporters in the U.S. and the U.S. Congress? Does that, and I think it affects us profoundly in our war with ISIS and our relationship with Iraq and Afghanistan. 1-866-ERADO, 1-866-437-2536. Dave from Queens, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, Netanyahu's re-election is going to really cause turmoil in the Middle East. It's going to radicalize moderates, and it's also a slap in the face to America. For 20 years, been working on getting a Palestinian state. When Netanyahu gave his speech before Congress, he never mentioned to the American people that he planned on killing the two-state solution. Had he said that, his plane would not have been allowed to land in the United States. You see, Israel has 300 nuclear weapons, and Israel is now starting to flex her muscles. And it doesn't care about world opinion and anything else. Israel lied to John F. Kennedy way back in the 1960s when the Kennedy administration was suspicious that Israel was secretly developing nuclear weapons. The Israeli prime minister told John F. Kennedy.
Hey, Dave. I want to stay in this decade specifically. Okay. I'd like to stay in today if we can. And here's what I agree with you about, Dave, and here's what I disagree with you about. First of all, I agree with you completely that he left out the fact that there would be no Palestinian state when he talked to Congress. And I do think he knew that wouldn't play well in this country. And he probably had conversations with John Boehner about it and decided to leave that out of the equation. My question is, did he look at polling? Did he look at research? Did he look at where he stood in the election and decide, I have to say this now to win re-election? My guess is that's what happened. My guess is he came out and said there will never be a Palestinian state as long as I'm prime minister, because he needed to say that to win re-election. So, yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm not sure he knew he was going to say it when he got before Congress. I'm not sure he knew he was going to use that as a campaign strategy. But, man, it was darn close. You would have to think, unless it really was a Hail Mary pass to win the election, that he left that out on purpose. So I do agree with you on that. But look, I'm not certain his reelection is a horrible thing in the Middle East. I'm not certain that it's going to cause war. But certainly he ran as a war hawk, and it is more likely, and it does hurt the relationship even more, if that was possible, with President Obama. Brody from the Bronx, you're on 77 WABC.
You know, that's the second time you said that, and I couldn't disagree. I think it's so unfair of you to call him a war hawk. It's actually just the opposite. He's a man that shows that Israel, once again, is not going to be bullied and intimidated because they can defend themselves. Now, when was the last time you remember Israel or Netanyahu starting a war, being aggressive or threatening war, rather than just making a statement that we're going to defend ourselves if somebody wants to come against us? Don't cut me off. Engage me in a dialogue.
Yeah, no, Brody, I want to ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Is a war hawk only an aggressor? Because I didn't call him that. That's what you took it to mean. I'm not saying that, but he does not want, listen to me. Now you listen to me. He does not want to negotiate peace with Iran, and he does not want a Palestinian state. And so where does that leave Israel, and where does that leave the rest of the world?
Okay, let me respond to you. Iran, like you said in front of Congress, by giving them any opportunity to have Cold War, I'm not going to get into technicalities, what you're allowing them to do is pave the way for one day having nuclear weapons. As far as the Palestinians...
No, wait, but that's an assumption. That does not necessarily true. Doesn't that lead you necessarily on a path to war? What are you going to do?
He served notice by telling the whole country to what they've had to say. He let America know that this country, and he went very succinctly about all the things that they perpetrated Iran against Americans globally. Now let's get to your Palestinian state. Do you think it's not fair that if we're going to negotiate a Palestinian state, that the first thing they got to do is say you have a right to exist as a Jewish state, which you are?
No, I agree with you on that, Brody, and I'm going to have to cut you off there just because we're running out of time, and I gave you a whole lot of time, Brody. And look, I don't disagree with much of your point, with a lot. We have more agreement than you know. You just were offended by the word war hawk, and I think you misinterpreted what I mean by that. What I mean is he doesn't want to go to the table and talk peace. He's made that extremely clear. So what's left then? But I do agree with you. Both sides have to give. I was just talking about him and what his election means. But you're right. The Palestinians have to say that Israel has a right to exist. So both sides have to temper down the dialogue. But his election doesn't show any tempering down from his side anytime soon. This is Larry Manti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
B.B. King. That's the way the New York Post says it. Benjamin Netanyahu reelected. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The number to call in is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. The reelection was a surprise to many, probably a surprise to the Obama administration. They might have been hoping that he was not reelected because they have, I think it suffices to say, it's a tense relationship. It might be worse than that. It might be no relationship at all. Made just worse when Benjamin Netanyahu came here with the objections of the White House to speak to Congress, and President Obama refused to meet to him and send his minions out onto TV to blast Benjamin Netanyahu. And now he's in, and now he has power. And so what does that mean? Not only for U.S.-Israeli relationships, this relationship and future relationships. Because I'm not sure it hurts it. It hurts the relationship between the White House and Israel. Not necessarily between the U.S. and Israel, because Benjamin Netanyahu has strong ties to both Democrats and Republicans in Congress. This might actually isolate the White House a little more. But also, how does this play into Iran-U.S. negotiations? I think it hurts it, and I think that's a good thing. And our war on ISIS. And our negotiations with Syria, which are supposed to begin. And our negotiations for a Palestinian state, which Benjamin Netanyahu says will not happen as long as he is prime minister. That's what I want to talk about. Not just the election, but what this means. Dave in New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Larry, great to speak to you. I usually talk to you on your Sunday night show.
Yeah, hey, Dave. Thanks for calling in.
The pleasure is mine.
This will be an interesting conversation, Dave, because I know you are a Muslim.
Correct. You know, and I just want to say that I am ecstatic beyond belief that Bibi is back as Prime Minister of Israel. You know, and I've been saying this time and time again that Israel is the only country where I can be a Muslim freely and not have to worry about, at best, going to jail, at worst, getting killed because I don't subscribe to the twisted interpretation of our religion. And I think that it's a victory not only for the land of Israel but for the free world. And you know, this Palestinian state thing, Larry, is a big bunch of hokey because Israel has offered them their state time and time again, and they have refused because their only goal, the only goal of those radicals, is to drown Israel into the sea. They don't want their own state. They had numerous opportunities, and they refused because they're motivated by hatred of Israel.
Yeah, they have to agree to have a Palestinian state, Dave, and thanks for the phone call. They have to agree that Israel is also allowed to exist. But to come out and say it's not going to happen and there should be no negotiation of peace with Iran sends us down a path to violence and war. And that's what I worry about. And now that he knows he doesn't need the White House, he's empowered. James from Long Island, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, James.
I think the most important thing about this speech was, you know, you got to understand, for the last, I don't know how many years, he's taking, the Israelis have been taking advice from the White House not to move on this, not to move on that, not to move on this. But I think Benjamin Netanyahu clearly stated during the address to Congress, he's not going to take advice from Obama anymore. If he feels he's got to act, he's going to act now.
Yeah, James, you know what? It's interesting you brought that up because I think that what we saw when he gave that speech was that he is now aligned to members of Congress. Exactly. It's not that he doesn't have a U.S. relationship. He's now aligned to members of Congress, and exactly. He doesn't feel like he needs the White House anymore.
Exactly, exactly. So when he says Iran will not have a bomb, it doesn't matter what the White House negotiates. If they feel in 3 years that they have one, he's going to act.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, James, and that's a little worrisome. That's a little worrisome. So talk about, figure out the two things that you just said. They may be mutually exclusive. You're saying you can't negotiate not to have a bomb, but if you do get a bomb, I'm going to attack. And so why not negotiate not to have a bomb? Now, I'll answer my own question, because you can't trust the Iranians. And I think it's just like the deal with Saddam Hussein. When you have the UN inspectors to make sure that they're keeping their end of the bargain, and that turns into a mess, and then it turns into war. And I think the same scenario could play out when we negotiate with Iran. Lloyd, you're on 77 WABC.
Normally you're right on target, but I think today you're a little bit off. I have several statements, but they're all, I promise you, one sentence. Could I try to get...
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead, Lloyd.
Okay,
give it a shot.
Netanyahu is not really a war hawk. He offered, the guy was on the radio, he offered the two-state solution, the Palestinian state, twice, like Ehud Barak before him and Yitzhak Shamir, and he was refused by the Arabs. They refused him. Netanyahu, he's also not a hawk because he hasn't attacked Iran's nukes yet, and he's been told to not by the United States. And I fear it's too late because they're in many locations from what the news says, and they're well protected. Also, it's not like Iraq at all. It's more like North Korea. We did it and dallied under Clinton with North Korea, and North Korea now has nukes. And then the U.S. will never send troops to Israel to fight for Israel. And it's not just about Israel. It's the giant Satan, according to Iran, is the United States. And if they nuked Tel Aviv or Jerusalem or something, they probably would get a lot of the large American cities also. And here's my last 2 points.
Oh, no, one more. Okay. We're running out of time.
It's a double sentence. There's no peace because the Arabs do not want peace. And Neville Chamberlain negotiated a peace treaty with Hitler, and he got the peace treaty. But we know what happened. Churchill and England had to save the...
Yeah, there's no question, Lloyd, that peace treaties don't mean peace. If that's your point, I get it. Now, you said a mouthful. Let me try to respond to some of it very quickly. You looked at the past to say he's not a war hawk because of what was done in the past, but you do acknowledge the U.S. had a role in that. So he was held back. And now he's not held back. He thinks... And he thought so correctly that his political future, his future as prime minister, was in turning the corner and saying, I don't care what the U.S. says anymore. This is what's going to happen. And he broke ties with the White House when he said that, and he became a war hawk at that moment. I said he ran as a war hawk. I'm not talking about the past, but he certainly ran as a war hawk when he said he doesn't want peace with Iran and he doesn't want a Palestinian state. So what does that mean? That's number one. And number two, I agree with you with the deal with Iran. I think it's a bad deal, and what else is he supposed to do? And I don't mind that he came here to speak, because he was doing what he was supposed to do, and that's protect his country. It doesn't mean it's a good thing necessary for the U.S. or for the world. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing either. That's why I want to talk this out, because I think everything changes now. I think everything is a little bit worrisome now. I think it changes what we do with ISIS, because now those that want war in this country and want to send more troops are more empowered to do so. And you made the comment that we would never send troops to Israel. No, we send troops for Israel, and we've done it many, many times, and we may do it again. We don't send it right into their conflict, but if you don't believe... We send troops to many other countries in the Middle East. It's for our interest, too, but it's also for Israel's interest. This is Larry Mente in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The number to call in is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Every day I have the blues.
The great B.B. King.
Every day I have the blues.
And B.B. is king. Well, not king. He's Prime Minister of Israel. That was the Post headline today. That's what we're talking about. This is Larry Manti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The number to call in is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. We are coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studios. I want to wrap up our conversation about Benjamin Netanyahu winning re-election and what that means to the world and what it means to U.S. relations and what it means to our talks with Iran and the chance for peace in the Middle East and even our war with ISIS, because I think it affects that too. At the top of the hour, I want to tell you now that I'm switching up topics and we're going to talk about this headline in the Daily News that Michelle Obama's mother was wary of her marriage to Barack Obama because he was half white. It brings up a whole lot of questions about race relations, about why that's okay and it would not be okay from the other side, a double standard there, and the fact that I don't think this is going to get any play. But just imagine, had it been, say, the Bushes, or just imagine, had it been Jeb Bush saying, his mother saying that about marrying a Mexican-American woman. What? There'd be an uproar. And I don't think there's going to be an uproar over this. So that's at the top of the hour. But let's get to your phone calls about Benjamin Netanyahu at 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Patricia, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, good morning, Larry. Good to hear you.
Good morning, Patricia.
Here's what I see if I'm standing in Netanyahu's shoes, okay? I'm seeing Iran really as the ultimate caliphate state. And I'm looking at 6 years of this presidency, and I'm seeing a president who said nothing and did nothing when the youth of Iran wanted to protest the mullah's rule, and they got squashed like bugs. I'm seeing a man who interfered and fomented an overthrow of an elected president named Mubarak and consistently supported a government that was run by the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, this president turns around and he says, when Netanyahu is coming to speak, he says, oh, no, he says, I can't meet with him because it would so close to an election, it would look as if I was trying to interfere with the election. Well, he's got egg on his face for his hubris, because meet with him or don't meet with him, he has no effect on this election whatsoever.
Yeah, and now he's got to deal with them. Patricia, always good to hear from you. Thanks a lot for calling. Jerry from Long Island, you're on 77 WABC. Hey, Jerry, you're on the air. Mark from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Larry. Good
hey, Mark.
Morning. I just want to tell you one thing about what you were saying before with Netanyahu, that he does not want peace with the Iranians or the Palestinians. He would love peace. He's a peace lover. This Winston Churchill type of leader just knows the truth and wants to tell America and the whole world the truth. These guys do not want peace.
That's Mark. That's a great way to end it. We're up near the top of the hour. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. As I said, when we come back, we're going to talk about the cover of the New York Post and the fact that Michelle's mom didn't like Barack because of his white side. 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
All you want to do is ride around Saturday.
Great Wilson Pickett would have been 74 years old today. Oh, I love this song. Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC, 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536 is the number to call in. It's now 11:06. We are coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studios. Okay, so we did the cover of the New York Post with B.B. King, the victory of Netanyahu. The Daily News has an unusual cover story today that Michelle Obama's mother, Marion Robinson, was concerned that her daughter was going to marry this Barack Obama character. And she was concerned because he was biracial. Let that sink in for a minute. This came from a 2004 interview with a small Chicago TV station when Obama was running for Senate in Illinois. Now, nobody made a big deal about it at the time. Probably nobody even noticed it. Not a lot of people saw it. But it was dug up by Peter Slevin, an author putting together a biography on Michelle Obama. I guess he's already put it together. It's about to come out. So in the TV interview, and that's how the Daily News got it, but in this TV interview, Michelle Obama's mother said she was, quote, a little bit wary of her future son-in-law being the product of a white mother and a black father. And then Marion Robinson said, that didn't concern me as much as had he been completely white. Wow. Now, again, this story didn't get much traction at the time, and I don't think it will now. This dates back a bit, so it could be a generational thing. I get that. I'm sure things have changed. But the story itself says a lot. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Here are a couple things that strike me about the story that comes from the family, the first family that broke the racial barriers and have dealt with race in both words and action more than any other family. First, is there still this wariness, a prejudice against people who are biracial in the black community? I wasn't aware of that, mainly because I'm not black. Because I believe there's been an overwhelming acceptance in the white community of people who are biracial and biracial couples. But the other thing that really bothers me a little bit is the double standard here. Prejudice is prejudice. Racism is racism. Can you imagine if the mother of a white first lady said something like this? Can you imagine if Barbara Bush, if we find an interview with Barbara Bush, who said that she didn't like that Jeb was marrying a Latina? There'd be hell to pay. It would be everywhere. MSNBC would go wall to wall with this for weeks. It is a double standard that just doesn't apply here. It applies in all walks of life, and we all allow it. It seems to me on TV, in jokes, in the media, in families, in their discussions, on the streets, on radio, blacks are allowed to be prejudiced, even racist. It's all right to say these things out loud about whites, or apparently even if someone is biracial. But whites cannot say something similar or they're labeled a racist and ostracized from civilized society and public life. And we need to get past that and make the rules the same for everyone so everybody understands what they say, they can say, and can't say. And until we do, we haven't evolved. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. John, I assume that, it says Penn, Pennsylvania, I assume that is. You're on 77 WABC.
Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Larry, I'm so glad that you brought up the subject of Michelle's mother. She's lived in that White House since the first day they came in under the phony story that she was taking care of Sasha and Malia.
Dave from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, I respect you as a journalist, but I mean, this is a non-story. This doesn't even make any sense. I mean, what relative who's older who doesn't have reservations about other people? I mean, she didn't say anything bad against him being white. She said she had reservations about him being biracial.
Right.
You know? And yeah. You even mentioned that. She said that if he was white, she probably would be a little bit, you know, more relaxed.
Not more relaxed.
I mean,
no, wait a second, Dave. If you're gonna talk about it, you got to get the story right. That's not what she said. She said it would have been worse had he been white. Not that it would have been okay if he was white. It would have been worse had he been white. Now I understand, Dave. What I'm saying is there's a double standard. I'm not saying it's a horrible thing, but it shouldn't be on either side, should it?
I mean, somebody having reservations or being a little bit adamant about something is different from somebody just saying, you know what, I hate these people, or putting somebody in a bad light. I mean, I think you're just trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. I mean, it's not a major thing. I mean, she didn't say anything. She didn't condemn people. You know, she just had her reservations. I mean, who doesn't have reservations? If your kid came home and they were dating interracially and you had your reservations, no one would call you wrong.
No, but wouldn't it be a big deal if it was a white parent saying that about a black candidate? And by the way, I'm not the only person making a big deal about this. You're saying I'm doing that. It's on the cover of the Daily News today. So
it must be a slow news day.
Yeah,
it's
not
a major thing.
I agree. Well, it's not a major thing because of who it is. You can't tell me it wouldn't be a major thing had it been a white parent talking to a white candidate about someone of color that they were talking about marrying. Then it would be a big deal.
No, it really wouldn't.
Yeah, Dave, you're being naive.
No, here's the thing. Reservations is different from saying, you know what, I'm going to condemn you, I'm going to disown you, or I can't stand you, or I hate you, or I hate those people. Reservations, I don't see how anybody would have a problem with somebody being a little bit, you know, cautious. And then, you know, again, you know, now she's living with him. So apparently, you know, the problem must have went away. Or, you know, she stopped thinking about it.
Well, now he's president, of course. Now she's living in the White House, of course. That's not a bad thing. She loves him now. But Dave, she didn't just say that she was a little concerned, that she was wary that he was biracial. She also said, had he been white, it would have been worse. And I will grant you that most parents would have that concern. I don't think you're wrong when you say that. I will grant you that it's probably a generational thing. But I didn't know, first of all, that that existed in the African-American community, this prejudice towards biracial. I just didn't know that existed. So that's my naivete. But also, you can't tell me there's not a double standard. Ralph from New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Well, I'm just glad to hear you, Larry. I tuned in Sunday, glad to know you're still there. You know, I'll tell you something, the whole idea of the double standard, I yearn for the time when we can call it like it is from both sides, which we fail to do over and over. Those who are the most progressive among us are those who are the biggest hypocrites, or they profess to be progressive, but they're really not in the true sense of the word, Larry. You know, I think it may be a bit overblown, but I think that it is a generational thing. But when can we just say what we choose to say without a repercussion? Like, this thing in of itself, Larry, if the double standard didn't exist, it wouldn't be a big deal. But because of the double standard, I have to call attention to it. And I'm glad that you did too, Larry, because it is. The double standard is hitting me between the eyes.
Yeah, Ralph, thanks for the phone call. I agree with you 100%. I yearn for the time where we can be honest. I yearn for the time when this wouldn't be a big deal, because we can all say, of course, as a parent, you're going to have some reservations. You worry about how it'll be perceived. You worry about a whole lot of things. And all of us could say, yeah, that's right. Just like Dave said when he called. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I give you a pass on that. But that's not the case if it was a white parent. And so what I'm saying is, as long as there is that double standard, then this sticks out like a sore thumb. Then this is a problem. And we need to get past that. We need to not be oversensitive on either side for us to evolve in race in this country. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is Larry Menti, in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
Live, local, on it, 866-HERALDO, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
That is the number one song of all time, Chubby Checker. And it is an outrage that this man is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I just interviewed him yesterday, and I am completely outraged. I don't know if you saw Hall & Oates' last induction when they came in, and they mentioned the same thing. How come Chubby Checker's not in the Hall of Fame? As a matter of fact, I was so outraged, I went to an online site and started a petition to have him put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm sure that'll work. But I felt like I had to do something because it is such an egregious slight. This is Larry Mente in for Gerardo Rivera on 77 WABC, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studios. The number to call in is 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Strange cover of the Daily News today. I'll admit, it's an odd story to put on the cover. It had to be a slow news day. Did they not hear that Netanyahu won re-election? But the story is about Michelle Obama's mother having reservations about her marrying Barack Obama because he was biracial. And she said, this is an old interview that they dug up, and it's going to be in a new biography about Michelle Obama. And then they brought up from the interview that she said it would have been much worse had he been white. Now, I will agree, and I agree that it was generational. And I will agree that a parent's allowed to have some reservations. But it does bring up two points to me, that there is a double standard, that blacks are allowed to say this about whites, but whites can't say this about blacks. And there's also a double standard in political parties, too, because this will not be a big deal. Maybe it shouldn't, but it would not be a big deal. Could you imagine if Barbara Bush said this about Jeb Bush's wife, that she had concerns because she was Latina? It would be a huge story. I don't think this is going to have legs. And to me, that's a problem. Until we can get past that double standard, we haven't evolved. 1-866-437-2536, 1-866-HERALDO. Laura from Harlan, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, good morning, Larry.
Hi, Laura, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I would like to just state the fact that Mrs. Robinson do not impress me as some backward black woman from the state of Alabama in some hills, up in some hills. And it seems that this was, of course, again, it's for the divisiveness when she, after saying if he, it would be worse if he was white, whatever, whoever the interviewer was, why didn't it go on behind that? Why does it stop right there? Because, Larry, here's the question, or here's the answer. As a black woman, I have reservations. I have friends that are white, have reservations, and the reason for our reservations is because just what's going on now. Again, there's still a lot of hatred between white and blacks, regardless of how well we want it to be. So why didn't it go on after she said it would be worse? I'm quite sure she's thinking on the terms that I'm thinking on the terms that my white friends think on, not because we're prejudiced or we're racist. So when it stops right there, it would be worse. Why wasn't that question? And thank you, Larry, for accepting my call.
Yeah, Laura, thanks for calling. You're right. There should have been a follow-up question. And maybe there was. It just wasn't in the article that I read. I didn't see the interview. It was from 2004. It was when he was running for governor of Illinois that a small Chicago station did the interview. It's going to be in the biography, so it's worth looking into. But you're right. That cries for a follow-up question. Why do you have reservations? But it sounds like it was just let go. It was just let to hang out there in the air. Peter from New York City, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, welcome, Larry. Larry, I'd like to make a quick comment.
Sure.
This, what you bring up, is not that unique. It was only a few years ago there was a TV show called Bridget Loves Bernie. And I'm assuming that Bridget is a Caucasian and Bernie was a Caucasian. And certain one of the communities was so outraged, they protested. That's only a few years ago. But my point also is that blacks have, ask Geraldo, he's Puerto Rican and supposedly Caucasian. I'm sure those broads he married, their parents gave them hell. Because, again,
well,
we
wait
like
a second.
To be familiar with what we know.
Yeah, no, look, but he's also, you know, Gerardo Rivera. I get your point that parents have reservations of all races and creeds, by the way. And maybe we're blowing this up too much, but I think it does show a double standard. That's what I'm going after more than anything else. Al, quickly, from Connecticut, you're in 77 WABC. Hey, Al.
Yes.
Can you imagine if Barbara Bush said about Jeb Bush, Mexican wife?
Oh, yeah, no. I brought that point up. You're absolutely right. It would be a much, much bigger story. And I think we're going to hear more about this over the next couple of days, but I don't think it's going to be the story it would have been had it been Barbara Bush. And I don't think it's the story that it would have been had it been a white parent. Because there is this double standard. We need to talk about this in weeks to come, but I want to move on to this MTA story. They claim their campaign to make the subways a little bit more courteous is working. Really? I haven't seen it, have you? We'll talk about it. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Oh, oh, you can't stop today. As it comes speeding down the track. Now yesterday is history, and it's never coming back.
Queen Latifah's birthday today. This is Larry Menti on 77 WABC, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. I'm filling in for Geraldo Rivera. The number to call in is 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. So the MTA claims its new campaign to teach manners on the subways, you've seen the signs, you know, with the stick figures, is working. It tells you what not to do on the subway. They claim it's working and has received an overwhelming response. But they have no numbers to back that up. Just an overwhelming response, and it's working. Really? I'm not seeing it. You? 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. I'm seeing just as many subway car makeup artists, pole dancers, breakfast sandwich munchers, man spreaders, and general ignoramuses as ever before. Inconsiderate subway riders have given a huge middle finger to the MTA's new push for common courtesy. The New York Post has a big three-page spread on this today and found the exact same thing. Nobody's paying attention to the push for courtesy. A woman applying her makeup for 10 minutes using the seat as a vanity table. She said, I like doing my makeup on the subway, as if that's a good reason to continue with that behavior. A guy having a full breakfast, showing his mouth full of food to everybody sitting around him. People who thought their bags were much more important than anybody who needed a seat. Men who spread their legs so wide that you think they're getting ready for a physical. Bicyclists. These are the ones that crack me up the most. Don't you need the exercise? I've seen this time and time again. Cyclists who carry their bike parts on the train and then knock into everybody with their bike. If you have a bike, use it. You already have a mode of transportation. If you're not going to use the bicycle, leave it at home. What is it, just for show? They get on sometimes with all the bike gear, the tight pants and the cup protection and all that. The helmet, the bike gear, and then they take the subway. I'm sure you've seen this. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. I'd love to know how much money the MTA spent on this campaign. I'm not saying it wasn't a good idea. It was a nice try. But if you really want to fix up the MTA, if you really want to fix up the subways, I agree that there are some people there that are a problem. And by the way, we all have to get together on this. Because when there is some ignorant jerk who sits there when there is an elderly person or a pregnant woman and pretending they don't see them, not giving up their seat, We have to come. You know how they do crowdsourcing on the internet now? We have to come together as a crowd and either stare that person down or say something and say to them, get up. Let this person sit down. And we got to do it in numbers because one-on-one, it can get a little scary. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Mike, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Mike.
I'm listening to you about the subway. It's everything in general, this younger generation now coming up. They think they're entitled to do what they like to do. And that's because their parents raised them that way. If you look at this generation, okay, and I mean for all over the world, if you look at this generation, this was the generation where they went to Little League and everybody got to play and everybody got trophies at the end of, you know, of whatever happens, you know what I mean? Everybody did good.
I'll be honest with you, Mike. I get your point and I agree with you, but I've seen all ages. You know who the worst are? Businessmen.
Well, what are they? The businessmen, when you really look at them, how old are they?
That's true.
How old are they?
Yeah, that's true.
How 40? 40 years old?
No, and I hate that whole thing, like, oh, I didn't know. The passive aggressiveness of it, Mike, thanks for the phone call. I didn't know my bags were here. Oh, I'm sorry, are you pregnant and standing there and about to faint? I just didn't see you. Bull. Just show a little consideration. Steve from New York, you're on 77 WABC.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, Steve.
Look, I rode the subway, I would say, I'm in my 50s, probably for the past 45 years. And the passengers are the passengers. The fact that we spend money like you can't believe on infrastructure and these union paid employees that really don't give a rat's you know what about the ridership. They just want to care about what they're getting as far as their pay, their benefits, their retirement. And to put the onus on the ridership when they have to deal with packed subway trains because a lot of them are out of commission. They had this story about the Seven Line, which is a disgrace. Here we are in the 21st century, and this line in particular resembles like it was back in the 1960s.
Yeah, the money would be better spent there. To your other point, though, you got a good point there. If you're gonna pay all these guys, and by the way, I don't want to paint with that wide of a brush because I've seen employees in the MTA who are very caring and very good. But I get the stereotype, and to your point, instead of putting these signs up, since you're paying these guys all this money, have them walk through every once in a while and say, hey, do me a favor, give up that seat. Hey, do me a favor, do you see this person sitting there? Hey, you got to move your bags. Unless you want to buy two tickets, you got to move that bag because you're taking up a seat. That's a great idea. And that's a way to put some of the MTA workers to work. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is Larry Menti on 77 WABC.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. The number to call in is 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Talking about the MTA, the subways, and the MTA claiming that their new manners program, their new Be Courteous program, is working, yet they have no numbers to back it up, and the Post did a big article today saying it's failing. And so you wonder how much money they spent on this thing. And Marty Berman, who is the longtime executive producer for Geraldo, was in here. I've never seen him so passionate about a topic, being not only a longtime executive producer for Geraldo, but a longtime New Yorker. He came in and said, why don't they spend some of the money to clean up the subways? He said it's the single most embarrassing thing about New York, in his opinion. And that he's embarrassed to be a New Yorker when friends visit from other cities and other countries and see this. It's a great point. So trying to teach manners to people on the subway matter that much when it looks like a trash can underneath, when you got rats running around underneath? Clean up a little and maybe everybody else will clean up their act to go along with the new subway system. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Marcella from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Larry. I just wanted to say I had a date with you Sunday night and you didn't show up. Where were you?
Oh, you mean on Sunday night? Yeah.
So much.
Oh, you know what? I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, did I have a real date? My memory's so bad, Marcella. I thought I didn't show up at your house for a second.
You didn't show up, but we missed you.
Yeah,
so much.
Thanks a lot, Marcella. That's really nice of you. Hale from Long Island. You're
Hello,
on 77 WABC.
All right. First of all, the Long Island Railroad should have a place where people could store their bikes in Manhattan that they don't have to carry it on the train.
Great idea.
The railroad don't think.
Love that idea.
All right. Number two, I think there should be a $20 toll on any bridge going into the city. It's a privilege to go to our city. If you can afford to do work in the city, you could afford $20 to pay to come into our city. We want less vehicles there.
I take it you don't take the bridges then?
No, I take it.
Because everybody else should pay extra and not you.
No. If you have an electric car, you're allowed to go into the city for free.
Ah, you're driving me crazy now. Hey, I liked you so much for a second there. I don't want to pay more. I don't want to charge more people to come into the city. The poor people that have to live in New Jersey and come in, they're paying enough.
The purpose is we want to eliminate pollution. Okay, in Europe, at the mountains.
Hale, you're getting off the topic a little bit. I got you. I got your point. Jay from Brooklyn, you're on 77 WABC. Hey, Jay, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. Listen, this study, if you're a real New Yorker by MTA, it should be dismissed. It looks like all filled by agenda. For example, the part about people eating on a train, they don't know the reality. Average person that goes to work, there's a good chance he spends hour or hour and a half on subways. So they like to take their food with them.
Yeah, no, and people eat in the car, too. I just had to let you go just because I'm running. I'm getting near the end of the show now, but I got your point. Yeah, some people have to put on makeup because they're running behind. That's not the biggest problem, by the way. I have a bigger problem with people not giving up their seats for those, you know, a pregnant woman or an elderly woman and people that are putting packages. Thank you so much, Crash, and the enraged Marty Berman, who is upset about the cleanliness of the subway system. Kuby and Curtis, or Curtis and Kuby, are up next. Either way, they're great, and I'm sure they'll be talking about Benjamin Netanyahu and a host of other topics. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera. I'll be back again tomorrow on the great 77 WABC.